Studio 360.
I grew up reading the funny pages every day in my hometown paper, the Omaha World Herald. Blondie, Dondi, Lil Abner, and Nancy. Today, newspaper comics seem more and more like pretty quaint artifacts of the last century, like the print versions of the daily newspapers themselves. All the glory has migrated to graphic novels, which win literary prizes and get adapted by Hollywood and Broadway. And comic book superheroes, of course, dominate the movie box office. Still, there is a passionate community that reads the newspaper strips every day and takes them very seriously. So that when something happens to how some venerable character is drawn, the fans react emphatically. Studio 360's Evan Chung has one of those stories.
Something happened this April that sent shockwaves down the creases of the funny pages. It was the biggest controversy to hit newspaper comics since Mary Worth had a stalker who drove off a cliff in 2006. And caught in the kerfuffle were two of the industry's most venerable figures, a spiky-haired girl named Nancy and her pal Sluggo.
Nancy, what do you want out of life?
To be famous without having to work. You?
I just settled for not having to work.
Seems innocuous enough, but that quiet little comic heralds a major change. For the past few decades, the comic strip Nancy has been kind of maudlin, with religious overtones and surprisingly frequent tributes to dead country musicians. But now, Nancy has been rebooted, and it's completely unsentimental. It's even meta.
I'm sick of all these reboots and restarts. Why can't something that's gone stay gone?
Look, I know you hate pollen, but that's still a pretty harsh way to talk about spring.
The internet has a lot of feelings about this. Here's a typical comment. I miss the sweet, sunny, and bright feel of the old Nancy. The new Nancy seems to have a negative vibe.
Yeah, because she's a jerk. I'm Olivia James, and I'm the writer and artist for Nancy. The Nancy I love best is a little girl who's pretty salty about things, fundamentally an optimist, solving problems to get what she wants. She's like an optimistic jerk.
Nancy is also a girl, and Olivia James is the first woman to draw her in the character's 85-year history. Olivia James is actually a pseudonym, and at her request, we're altering her voice. She says she wants to maintain her privacy and to keep the Nancy brand completely separate from her webcomic, which is very different in tone. And it was that webcomic that led the syndicate behind Nancy to offer her the job.
When they brought up this idea to me and were like, hey, is this something you'd consider? I was like, yes, absolutely. Just as a huge slobbering fan.
If the idea of slobbering Nancy fans surprises you, then you haven't been paying attention. We're in the middle of a Nancy renaissance. Renanciance, I guess. It's true, Nancy isn't beloved like Calvin and Hobbes. You don't see plush Nancys clinging to windshields a la Garfield. And it's not even the butt of jokes like the soap opera comics.
Rex Morgan, MD. You have the prescription for the daily blues.
Nancy has just kind of been there. But if you think Nancy is irredeemably lame, maybe you're just reading it wrong.
I would just call it a quintessential comic strip on many, many levels. My name is Mark Newgarden, and I am the co-author of How to Read Nancy.
And my name is Paul Karasik, and I am the other co-author of How to Read Nancy, The Elements of Comics in Three Easy Panels.
How to Read Nancy came out last fall. It's a dense, almost scholarly book that argues that there's much more going on in Nancy between the lines.
Showing examples of Nancy really illustrates the essence of the language of comic strips. It's sort of a how-to manual on how not to make stupid mistakes.
Ernie Bushmiller, who created the character in the strip back in the 1930s, was really on a one-man mission to make you laugh.
He was considered among his peers as one of the great gag artists of all the times, one of the great gag creators.
In 1925, when he was just 19 years old, Ernie Bushmiller inherited somebody else's comic strip. It was called Fritzy Ritz, and it was about a sexy, airheaded flapper. But after drawing Fritzi's romantic adventures for 8 years, Bushmiller thought his strip needed a jolt.
And eventually, this little girl showed up, popped up behind a couch on January 2nd, 1933, proclaiming herself Nancy.
There's a lot of humor in here into just how different she looks from Fritzi Ritz, her aunt. Aunt Fritzi's like a pin-up bombshell. She's got flapper clothes and very sexy long eyelashes. And Nancy has, for her face, like two dot eyes, which are kind of creepy looking.
Something really clicked with this character. The public let Bushmiller know pretty quickly that there was something about this kid.
This feisty little girl character was only supposed to last a week. But like a Depression-era Urkel, the side character became the star attraction by popular demand. Poor Aunt Fritzi was demoted, and the strip was officially retitled Nancy in 1938.
Well, at first look, Nancy appears to be just a simple, spiked-haired, slot-nosed kid. But in fact, she's a problem solver. She's also impetuous, argumentative, volatile, and all through this, she remains very much a kid. That is, she loves cookies on the top shelf and she hates school. Perfect comic strip character.
Now Nancy just needed a perfect comic foil. So in 1938, Bushmiller introduced her to a rough-looking bald kid with a Bronx accent.
Me name is Sluggo Smith. I'm new around here. Wanna be my Goyle?
Sluggo is Nancy's best friend. He's got a cap on. He's similar to Nancy. He's maybe more of a slouch.
He's apparently an orphan, yet lives in his own home, which is in seriously dilapidated condition.
Which is one of the things I'm going to be changing in my incarnation of Nancy. Maybe just fewer jokes like, wow, Sluggo's house is really bad.
Now Bushmiller had all the elements he needed. Rough-edged Sluggo, impish Nancy, glamorous Fritzi, and that's it. No plots, no exquisitely rendered background art. Barely any dialogue. Ernie Bushmiller intentionally stripped his strip of all distractions so he could pursue the perfect gag.
For the rest of his life, he really worked at honing down the basics of what a comic strip is. He once said, I want the dumbest guy in the world to be able to read my comic strip and get it as fast as possible.
And he would start with the final panel and then work backwards. How could he get there? How could he land the reader as quickly and as smartly to that gag as possible?
It's almost like the opposite of a New Yorker cartoon where there's like 3,000 captions that are all equally funny for the picture. I feel like the first two or three panels of Nancy set up the last one so perfectly, where it's really like, yes, it had to be that.
I hear you had lunch with that brainy girl today.
Yes, she made me pancakes.
She's not your type, Sluggo. What do you have in common with her?
Indigestion.
The best Nancy comics followed a basic premise.
Nancy finds a creative way to solve a problem. And so if she's looking at a painting that's tilted and she's sitting in a chair, and the first few panels are all her like trying to fix the painting that's crooked, and it keeps sliding back and being crooked again. And so the final panel is just her having tilted the chair, looking at the tilted picture. So she solved the problem, and it's like the right answer.
Ernie Bushmiller paired these minimal setups with artwork that was deceptively simple, zen-like even. The bulk of Paul Karasik and Mark Newgarden's book, How to Read Nancy, some 90 pages of it, is devoted to deconstructing a single Nancy strip that ran August 8, 1959. They break down this minimal three-panel comic into 43 separate components that work together in service of the gag. They have chapters on Sluggo's outfit, the shape of the speech balloons, even the assorted blobs of black ink.
In the course of these three brief panels, Bushmiller is using full splotches of black as compositional elements. Bushmiller has calculatedly chosen those spots of black to direct the eye, and we connect these spots of black like a connect-the-dots puzzle to land exactly where he wants us to, at the gag.
Don't we lose some of the humor of the gag by dissecting it like this?
Of course. I mean, we might as well explain a stop sign. But, you know, stop signs are designed and have a high functionality, and we really think about comics the same way.
The new Nancy artist, Olivia James, actually poked fun at this academic approach in a recent strip. A frustrated Nancy stands against a blank white background. Then one speech balloon appears, and then another, and another, until she gets crowded out of her own comic.
Nancy is iconic for her simplicity.
Hers is a simplicity, and not merely the simplicity that defies convention.
Excess is not Nancy.
Represents such an unadorned, plain
I enjoyed that one most of all of hers so far, actually.
There is irony in injecting so much grown-up discussion into a strip that was so purely kid-like. Ernie Bushmiller's characters were completely unadulterated by adulthood. Compare that to the early-onset melancholy you find in his rival strip, Peanuts.
I feel depressed. I know I should be happy, but I'm not.
Well, as they say on TV, the mere fact that you realize you need help indicates that you are not too far gone.
There's no Lucy Van Pelt and the Doctor is in. In the world of Nancy, there would be a lemonade stand.
And even though Ernie Bushmiller grew up as a boy, he managed to capture through Nancy this rambunctious side of girlhood in a way that's resonated with a lot of women, including Olivia James.
She'll be grumpy about something until she gets ice cream. And I see a lot of myself in that. I don't know, I felt like she was a unabashed twerp way before that character prototype existed. But at the same time, she's not completely one note. She doesn't hate everything. And she's not angry forever.
Do you think Nancy is a feminist character?
Oh, heck yeah. She gets what she wants, even though what she wants is ice cream.
Ernie Bushmiller worked on Nancy until his death in 1982. A few other cartoonists have continued the strip since then, but now that Olivia James has become the first woman to draw Nancy, she's finding ways to make the strip a bit more reflective of what it's really like to be a girl.
Something that I am going to do is bring in female friends for Nancy, because I really don't think she has many in classic Nancy. It's basically her and Sluggo, and female friendship, especially between young girls, is something that a lot of media, not just Nancy, doesn't get right. And so it's something I'm going to try and do is introduce new characters in a way that's respectful to classic Nancy, but also shows that young girls' friendships don't have to be adversarial and can exist.
And Nancy's Aunt Fritzy is changing, too. She had never exactly been a feminist hero. Here's how she was described in promotional material from the 30s.
Fritzy Ritz, the lassie that's sassy and classy. She's the eye-filling, form-fitting heroine of Ernie Bushmiller's laugh-making comic. As long as they make girls as pretty as Fritzy, boys will be boisterous.
Every time somebody rattles for sexy Fritzy to come back, the drawings I have of her, I just draw a poofier sweater on her. By the end, she'll probably be wearing a parka.
That's the kind of radical thinking that's getting the internet commenters all worked up. But Olivia James isn't the first cartoonist with a female-centric comic to face criticism. Take the often-mocked comic strip, Kathy.
I can't believe they put what you said in the paper.
This is a Kathy cartoon.
Yeah, that cartoon copied exactly what you said the other day.
Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate! Ack!
There's always been a certain percentage of people who hated my work. I'm Kathy Geiswhite. For 34 years, I wrote and drew the Kathy comic strip that ran in newspapers all over the place.
Kathy Geiswhite also grew up reading Nancy.
I certainly liked that, you know, it was a comic strip that had a girl's name. It was simple and sweet, but Nancy was kind of bossy and kind of a trickster, and I liked that.
When Kathy the comic strip launched in 1976, there was nothing in the funny pages that was drawn by a woman and reflected real women's concerns, like office gender politics and the anxiety of buying swimwear.
Especially in the beginning, the comic strip syndicate had a hard time, I think, convincing the newspaper editors that my strip belonged. Even though at least half the people who were reading the newspapers were women, it was a tough sell to sell a strip that was so different and that was so female-focused, yes.
Geiswhite stuck to the kind of subject matter she wanted to portray, and Kathy became one of the most widely syndicated comic strips in the country. But unlike Kathy, Olivia James doesn't have to start from scratch. She's taking over an existing strip with Nancy.
oh my God, she has such a harder job to have to exactly mimic the style of somebody and put an entirely new twist on it while keeping kind of the same rhythm. I think it's just an unbelievably challenging job. And I think she's doing a great job. If you have Olivia's number, tell her to call me. I can help cheer her on.
I think the ways in which I'm going to try and keep the spirit of Nancy alive are in the cleanness of the jokes, the simpleness of the lines, the like problem-solving aspect, the things I love. But there are some things that you just can't translate. And one example is like Nancy is always solving problems in ways that like we just wouldn't do nowadays. A good chunk of the problems she's solving in classic Nancy, we would just use our phones for. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Nancy learns to program a computer, because that's how we solve problems, is through technology.
You make me feel like I just got a notification that somebody liked a post of mine.
You make me feel like I just got a notification that somebody left a comment and shared my post.
I love the strip so much that I want to bring it to a new generation, and I want to translate it into terms they can understand and fewer jokes about Sluggo being poor.
Kathy Geiswhite has one piece of very Nancy-esque advice for Olivia James.
She's got a giant job. She should buy lots of ice cream. That's my advice.
Nancy, what you gonna do today in your adorable way?
Studio 360's Evan Chung produced that story. Nancy and Sluggo were played by Mary Wilson and Mike Pesca. You can hear Mike in his regular job on his daily podcast, The Gist, where Mary is the senior producer, and on his new podcast, Upon Further Review.
I hope I can get Sluggo to saw our wood today. Hello, Sluggo. Did you see that wood in the yard?
Nope.
Oh, yes, you did. I saw you see it.
Well, maybe you saw me see it, but you ain't gonna see me saw it.
Help them reach their goal. Give to